would be appropriate to not leave this other lesson until another time that may not come. So we are about to look on the subject, the passage read by Brother Smith is one of the important passages that will be brought to bear on the lesson today. The providence of God. The Almighty God working out His purpose, His will, caring for the church and His people, guiding the activities of the world so that His divine purpose will be served, and that He continues to work among men in the world, and that He does this not miraculously but providentially. That is behind the scene. Whatever might be going on around you or me, might be going on in our neighborhood, it might be going on in the wider society, and of course it might be going on in the world at large, whatever it is. While at times it appears as if no one anywhere in this universe cares, as if no one anywhere about is in control, it appears at times as if the Almighty God, not only is He absent, but as if God is indifferent. It's like He no care where I go on. Or that God is powerless. God's revelation and God's track record have demonstrated and inform us that God is in fact in control. That God is in fact actively involved, and that the Almighty God, in fact, is providentially guiding and directing people, things, and events. I repeat that. God's word and God's track record have shown us, taught us, that it's not only that God is involved in the world today, but that the Almighty God is actively involved in guiding people, in guiding things, and in guiding events. God is supervising all of these toward His own will and purpose. And get this. As an important part of that will and purpose in God's activity is the church which Christ has purchased with his blood. Let us run quickly to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. Quick. Ephesians chapter 3.
Whereof I was...
Another person, hold the book of Daniel chapter 2 and 4 ready. Read.
Whereof I was made a minister.
Paul said, I was made a minister.
According to the gift of the grace of God.
According to the gift of the grace of God.
Given unto me by the effectual working of his power.
That was given to me by the effective working of God's power.
Unto me.
Unto me.
Who am less than the least of all saints.
I am less. You know, I like Paul adjectives. you know, and less than the least of all saints. That's humility for you. That's right. Of all saints.
Is the grace given?
Is this grace given?
That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
You notice when we preach the gospel. Do you notice? Huh? You didn't notice that it is the type of wealth that is what, brother?
Unsearchable.
Unsearchable. We cannot exhaust all that the gospel of Jesus Christ is an offer. Because we are sinful, limited, finite human beings. In this life, we will not, you know, may the Almighty God help that one day those of us who reach there and stand by Jesus' side, and when we see the glory and what was in store for us, we are going to say, God, why didn't I serve you better? Truly, it is unsearchable riches. Read, brother.
And to make all men see. What is the fellowship?
What is the fellowship of?
The mystery.
The mystery.
Which from the beginning of the world
was hid.
In God.
In God.
Who created.
All things.
By Jesus Christ.
Read on.
To the intent.
For this purpose. This is what God had in mind. The phrase to the intent. Means this is God's ultimate goal. This is God's objective. To the intent.
That now. Unto the principalities. And powers.
In heavenly places. What is that, Brother Mitchell? Angel and the stratification of angel authority and to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Read on.
Might be known. By the church.
By what?
By the church.
By what?
By the church.
By what?
By the church.
What might be known?
The manifold wisdom of God.
God's wisdom is many-sided. Manifold. And, wait, probably you missed the fact that, pick up the verse above that verse, brother. Quick, no?
And to make all men see. What is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Read on.
To the intent. That now
unto angel.
The
principality. Not just men that he has just mentioned. But that even angel.
in heavenly places,
in heavenly places,
might be known by the manifold.
It is the church of Christ
by the
that God is using to tell men and women, to enlighten men and women of the plan that was hid in himself. Angel didn't know about it through these decades and centuries. It is now, while the Almighty God is enlightening men and women, by the Church of Christ, he's also enlightening angels. Read on a little more now.
By the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose.
What purpose?
The eternal purpose.
What purpose?
The eternal purpose.
Brother Jonathan, I had said that God is actively involved and is providentially guiding and directing people, things and events toward his own eternal purpose. Didn't I say that? Yes, I said that. And I told you that an integral part of this is the church. The church of Christ. He's working through the church. And God is working for the church. And God is working in the church to carry out is manifold wisdom and purpose. What verse you start?
Verse 11.
Step down to verse 22-21.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly.
Here again, you have these super relatives. Unto him, and that's oh my God, that's the great God that we have. Notice, brother, unto him, that is the Almighty God. That is what?
Able to do exceeding
that
abundantly.
That is able to do exceeding
abundantly.
Abundantly.
Above all that we
ask. Above all that we what?
That we ask.
Ask our thing. You got that? Everybody got that drift? That when you and I go to God in prayer, which of course God deals with providentially. When you and I go to God in prayer, and if those prayers are in keeping with his will, his children, remember, prayer is for the Christian. The Bible, from Old to New Testament, point out that prayer is a relationship thing. Meaning, you must be in a right relationship with God before you have the privilege of prayer. If you are here as a visitor and you don't understand that or you don't agree, we would like to sit and talk with you. Not quarrel, but just sit and listen to you. And we are available. If you forget, this is our number. That's right. That you are able to ask. Prayer, that is. That all the things that our great imagination can think of, that we can go to God in prayer for. The passage is telling us the Almighty God is still able to do above those. We are told the power of our intellect, that nobody ever used but a very small percent of the brain power. And when you have exhausted your brain in thinking what to ask God for, the Bible says the great God is still able to transcend above anything that you're asking. Oh, what a great God. Did I say verse 20 and what?
21.
Read.
Unto him be glory.
Unto the Almighty God. Watch here now. Be glory.
In the church.
Jonathan.
You cannot give glory to God outside the church.
Amen.
God fixed it. Wait. And not just Brother Mitchell has said that. God fixed it like that.
Amen.
If you are going to worship God, you have to be a part of His church, His body.
Amen.
He fixed it. In the midst of the church will I sing praises to your name. That's a different passage. Start verse 21 again.
Unto Him be glory.
Unto the Almighty God be glory.
In the church.
In the church.
By Christ Jesus.
By Christ Jesus.
Throughout all ages. World without end. Amen.
And you see, Jonathan, the church is there, world without end. Are we there? Yes, God's purpose. In the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, I'm going to give you the passages. Whole chapter 2, chapter 4, and probably chapter 5. In the book of Daniel. There is a perpetual divine truth stated 5 times in 3 verses. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking. In the book of Daniel, a perpetual, everlasting truth is stated 5 times in 3 chapters. Brothers and sisters, in these 5 verses, God's sovereign providential control, God's sovereign providential control over all human history.
Somebody didn't get that, you know, Brother Mitchell.
I said, His sovereign providential control, and I add another word, guidance, over all human history is solemnly and fearfully declared 5 times in 3 chapters. If the Almighty God at times seems to you absent, silent, and inactive, if God appears to you as if He's absent from the present world, as if He is silent, as if He is inactive, that is only appearance. It only appears so because the Almighty God is actively involved in the world. And if you're asking the question, how can God be active on all what is happening in the world happening? Well, it is the type of great God that He is. That He will permit human evil ways to have its run. But never have so much run that it endanger God's purpose. Never. God is not as silent as he appears. He's not as absent as he appears. He's not as inactive as he appears. This statement made 5 times. This declare divine truth is the core and it is the substance of the entire book of Daniel. It is found, the one statement is found in chapter 2:21. Listen. It is found in chapter 4, verse 17, verse 25, and verse 32. And it is found in chapter 5, verse 21. That one statement. 5 times. It is expressed. Let me hear it, but you know what, this time, I don't want it from chapter 2:21. I rather want it from chapter 5:21 or 4:32. Let us hear it.
And he was driven.
In fact, brother, let us hear it from some of the passage, you know, because I told you that the one statement, which is the core, it is the substance of the entire book of Daniel. And it is something that we must keep in mind. Because you know what? It's all about the lesson that we have been discussing in this series of lessons and the providential work of God. And this passage is telling us that God is involved all the time. Let us hear it from chapter 2, verse 21. Quick.
And he changeth the times.
God changed the time.
And the seasons.
He changed the season.
He removeth kings.
He does what?
He removeth kings.
He removed kings. You all here? Read.
And setteth up kings.
He removed kings and he set up kings. Okay, that was chapter 2, verse 21. Look now at chapter 4, verse 17.
This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High.
Wait, brother. Who may know?
The living.
We are included there. You see, there is a particular truth God wants every living man and woman to know. That God is providentially involved in the world happening. Things may not always happen the way you and I, who are trying to serve God, would like it to happen. And for this reason, sometimes we wonder, where is God? He's never far. That the living may know
that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men.
Say that again.
That the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men.
That's the whole thing. Well, don't move. That's the whole business about God's providence in the world today. That God rule in man's kingdom. He rule in peace. Administration. That's right. Read on.
And giveth it to whomsoever he will.
You all hear that? That was verse 17. Step to verse 25.
Well, the end of verse 17. And setteth up over it the basis of men.
You all hear that? When God wants, he removes one political leader and see to it that another one takes his place. Read now. That was verse 17, verse 25.
5:21.
No, 4.
25. That they may drive thee from men.
That is, I'll tell you a little more about Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon in a few minutes. That they may drive you. Remember Nebuchadnezzar got some dreams? Yes. And it confused him and baffled him and made him last night rest. Nobody in his kingdom, and none of the Babylonians were able to explain the dream, but God's people. You know, there's a part in the Bible that God shares his secret with his servants. Read, brother.
That they shall drive thee from men.
They shall drive thee from men.
And thy dwelling shall be with the beasts.
And your dwelling, you are going to live with the beasts. Wait. Who is this? In fact, let me not get there yet. Nebuchadnezzar, you are going to live with the beasts.
And they shall make thee to eat grass.
Just like the law animal, the wild animal eat grass. You, the greatest king in the world at this time, you are going to eat grass like a wild animal. Read.
And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven.
Uh-huh.
And 7 times shall pass over thee.
Uh-huh.
Till thou know that...
Wait. Brother Webb, you notice the word till is telling us God has a goal and an objective in putting Nebuchadnezzar through all of this. Till all this humility will be done to you. To bring you to, till you may know that
the Most High,
that the Most High
ruleth in the kingdom of men.
Ruleth in the kingdom of men.
And giveth it to whomsoever he will.
Oh Lord have mercy. That was about the third time. Because that is verse 25. Look at verse 32.
And they shall drive thee from men.
Uh-huh.
And thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field.
Uh-huh.
They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen.
Uh-huh.
And 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know
Here, you notice how God's goal and objectives keep coming up. God wanted to bring this man to the knowledge that he wasn't the greatest thing on earth. That was about the 4th time it is repeated. When you run now to chapter 5 and verse 21, you see it again.
And he was driven from the sons of men.
Nebuchadnezzar was driven from the sons of men.
And his heart was made like the beasts.
His heart was made like the wild animal, the beast.
And his dwelling was with the wild asses.
Uh-huh.
They fed him with grass like oxen.
Uh-huh. They fed him with grass like cow.
And his body was wet with the dew of heaven.
Y'all hear that? Read on.
Till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men.
Till Nebuchadnezzar came to acknowledge who God was. Are we all there? In declaring this truth, what I want you to notice is that the Almighty God acted strategically. In fact, we deal with a strategic God. You must be mindful of that. God does not just do things so. We are not always strategic, you know. We are haphazard. We do sometimes by our impulse, our feeling, our compulsion, we talk, we say things, we act. No, sir, not God. God is strategic. He not just do things so. You see, brothers and sisters, at this time,
And this was about the year 606 BC. 606 years before Jesus Christ. Are we out there? Babylon was the greatest city in the world. Are we all there? It was the most powerful empire on the earth at that time. One biblical historian said, Babylon was the wonder city of the ancient world. The city of Babylon was the wonder city of the ancient world. May I, at various times in history, different nations, different countries rose to prominence. You know, Greece, Babylon, Persia, Rome, name it. But at this time, it was Babylon. And the Almighty God strategically chose, because you see, when you are a king over Babylon at this time, anywhere men and women live on this planet Earth, they would be afraid of and reverence the leader and the country. The Almighty God chose this most powerful king and most powerful country to show that he is God. That's what I meant when I talk about that God acted strategically. Babylon. Brothers and sisters, God, in fact, look at chapter, let's move on. God, sovereign, providential control over the activities of men is also stated in Proverbs 21 verse 1 and Romans 13 1. Let us hear it. Proverbs 21 1 and Romans 13 1. Let us hear it.
The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord.
Wait. Somebody didn't hear that. How comes you didn't hear it? Well, let me ask the brother to read it over again.
The king.
Brother Jonathan, remember that the Bible's heart is the mind. God, the Bible tells us when it talks about the heart, it talks about that with which we think. As a man thinketh in his heart. So it talks about our mind, our intellect. That which we use to direct us. The king's heart
is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will.
Y'all hear that? Y'all hear that? Just like the Almighty God turned the river in the course that he wants. And many rivers have changed course over the decades and centuries. And a simpler thing like that, the wise man Solomon saw God's activity in the changing of the course of river. And he said, the king's heart. You mean the kings, the queen, world leader with all their pomps and pride? Yes, God is in control of them. Did I also, what I'm showing is that God ruleth in the kingdom of men. I told you Romans chapter 13 verse 1 also.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers.
Notice here, you notice what I notice? Huh? It's not power that is there, you know, it's powers. That's right. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers.
This is in reference to the various civil authority, government. Be subject to it. Listen.
For there is no power but of God.
The power. Wait. And if you didn't understand what he meant when he said there is no power but the power of God, he's going to explain it now.
The powers that be are ordained of God.
You all get it? Oh, Lord. Let me move on now because time has a way of running out on my sermon. Ladies and gentlemen, all the civil power government in the world, they are permitted to be so by the will and purpose of God. God ruleth in the kingdom of men. How does he do it, Brother Mitchell? He does it providentially. God does not necessarily send an angel down to tell the prime minister or whoever to do this. No! God sat on his throne and is directing world affairs. And when you and I see things like it get out of control and we wonder where is God, don't wonder. His permissive will is at work. Things happen, some things because God permits them. Not because they are what he wants. You get it? But because in his own wisdom he permits them. When his efficacious will not ready, he will take over. You see, whatever power they are ordained of God. Let me give you an example here of God, providential work at work. Oh, yeah. Deuteronomy 32. That was the passage that was read. I want from verse 7 to verse 14. Quick. In fact, read it, brother. Deuteronomy 32.
Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will shew thee thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.
Brothers and sisters, this is such an important passage. And may I, you know, because I want to cover some grounds, I'm going to. The Almighty God through Moses, I want to follow me here, please. Is putting things in perspective in the mind of the Israelite. Deuteronomy. As one theologian rightly said, his this chapter, 32, is an historical prologue. Now, a prologue is an introduction to an event, a play or an act. It is the preliminary speech that a person gives to introduce something. In lit and in the theater, people talk about the prologue. In Shakespeare, you have a lot of that. Deuteronomy 32 is where the Almighty God giving an introduction to the Israelite in respect to some history that he wanted them to be mindful of. Watch here now. The passage addresses the
providence of the Almighty God in controlling, supervising the distribution, the settlement, and the habitation of ethnic, racial, and national groups. I repeat, the Almighty God is pointing out to the Israelite that ask your parents and grandparents, look back in history and what you see. God is saying, I was there, working providentially, in controlling and supervising the distribution, the settlement, and the habitation of the different ethnic, racial, and national groups. It's no accident, God is saying, that the Ethiopians, etc., are on the continent of Africa. In effect, it is saying that. The same truth is stated in Acts. Let me hear it in Acts chapter 17, 24, 26, before I go further. Read.
God that made the world.
God that made the world.
And all things therein.
Uh-huh.
Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth.
Uh-huh.
Dwelleth not.
Wait, brother Jonathan. Sometimes even we need to understand that. That God does not only reign in heaven. We want to say, well, heaven, that is God. We will reign down here. No, sir. You better watch out for your reign down here. Because the Almighty God is as interested in our action, our thinking, our conduct, and is watching it. And if it seems to be getting out of hand, the Almighty God, as Brother Walker would say, will grab you up. That's right. What you have just read, brother?
Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth,
mm-hmm.
dwelleth not in temples made with hands,
uh-huh.
neither is worshipped with men's hands.
Uh-huh.
As
wait, brother. He's not worshipped with men's hands. When you play the piano and the organ, you are not worshipping God. You are entertaining yourself. He just stated it there. He's not worshipped with men's hands. Read on.
As though he needed anything.
Read on.
Seeing he giveth to all life.
He gives to all life.
And breath.
Brother Jonathan, the life that every one of us have, the Almighty God gives it. How does he give it, Brother Mitchell? Not miraculously. Are we all there? He used biological laws. We all there? He established those biological laws from the beginning. Huh? To bring a new human being into the world. Read.
He giveth to all life,
mm-hmm.
and breath,
and breath,
and all things.
All things!
And
wait. You notice he giveth. Giveth is present tense, which means it's continuous ongoing action. That means God is still giving all things to men. How is he doing it? Not miraculously, but providentially. The Almighty God is still at work in providing for the world, in guiding the world, in protecting his people. Read on, brother.
And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation.
He hath determined what?
Hath determined the times before appointed.
The time that he previously appointed for them. and the bounds of their habitation. He decide the Chinese be in Asia. That's no accident. That the Caucasian be in Europe. That's no accident. But you know what is striking about the passage in Deuteronomy? The Almighty God, when He spoke there in chapter 32, the Almighty God is showing the Israelites that all, when He was guiding the settlement and supervising the settlement of the various nations, the Almighty God had in mind one central goal and objective. And that was that the descendants of Abraham have the place, the geographical place on earth that God wants them to occupy. I find that quite striking. Jacob. That's right. Because you see, He had given this land to Abraham, promised it to Abraham way back. The time has now come when Abraham's descendant, through Isaac and Jacob, in Deuteronomy 32:7-8, the inspired writer Moses. Let me hear 7 and 8, brother. Quick.
Remember the days of old. Mm-hmm. Consider the years of many generations.
Uh-huh.
Ask thy father,
uh-huh,
and he will shew thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee.
Uh-huh.
When the Most High,
when that is the Almighty God, did what?
Divided to the nations their inheritance.
Watch you now.
When he
when God, and I'm, you see this, what he's saying here in Deuteronomy 32 is taking us way back to Genesis chapter 10 and 11. That is some 700 years ago. The Almighty God is taking them to history. When the Almighty God, in chapter 10 and 11, scattered the nation by giving them different language. 700 years are about before this time. That is before the time of Deuteronomy 32. When God did that 700 years ago, the Almighty God was thinking about the descendants of Abraham. And making sure that in the settlement of the different nation, the ethnic group, the racial group, that God so providentially fixed that when the Israelites come along 700 years after, they would have the place that God wanted them to have. You didn't finish reading verse 8 or where you were, brother.
When he separated the sons of Adam.
When he separated the sons of Adam.
He set the bounds of the people.
Watch here. You all hear that? That means he determined where this ethnic group, are this racial group, are this nation going to be. Read on.
Set the bones of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.
You all get that? Well, since you don't get it, I have another sermon to start right now on. Get that, Brother Fisher.
He set the bones of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.
At that time, there was no Israelite. That is 700 years before this. And the Almighty God, 700 years before Deuteronomy 32, was providentially involved in the settlement and the distribution
of geographical location, making sure that when Israelites came along, their path that God wants them to occupy would be there. Let us quickly, because it's time to end this lesson. Let us quickly run to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. And verse 32.
These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood.
When the Almighty God, when this division of the nation and the ethnic group and the racial group took place, God was involved. Look at chapter 11, same Genesis.
What we are looking at, you know, is that what we are reading here in Genesis is some 700 years before what God is saying here. Look at chapter 11, verse 6 through 8.
And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth.
When you use Deuteronomy 32 to interpret this, in this we see and we are told that God was providentially active in these ethnic, racial, and geographical settlement and distribution. No accident. Telling us that God does rule in the kingdom of men. He was doing that then, and he's still doing it now.
Oh, Lord of mercy, time has gone. God today is providentially, as the brother look up his invitation song, in the same way that hundreds of years before the Israelites came along. Why the Israelites so important, Brother Mitchell? To bring Jesus Christ in the world. It's not that the Israelites are important. It's that God has a purpose in them. That purpose is Jesus Christ, Christianity, and the church. That's the bottom line. Wait. I didn't say man-made denomination. Christ is the founder of one true church. The Bible makes that plain. And all what God was doing here to preserve geographically a portion at the spot that God wants for the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Israelites, to bring Christ in the world, was man's salvation, Christianity, and the church. God was providentially working the church. Oh, Lord. May I? And I end by saying Jesus Christ today is working providentially no less for the Christian and the church.
When the Bible tells us that all things work together for good, how does it work together? Providentially. God is seeing to it that for the men and women who are committed to Him,
and pleasant things will happen. Are we all there? Undesirable things will happen. But the Almighty God has the power to redirect them that they ultimately serve our best purpose. He is still providentially. Don't expect a miracle. God's not going to work a miracle. Jesus Christ said that. But God is today working still. And that's what he was saying to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 32 from verse 7 to verse 14. And he was bringing them back to history some 700 years old, telling the Israelites, when you see the division of the people here, the sons of Adam and what, God is saying, I was involved. And I had you, the Israelite, in mind. He's working for the church and for individual Christians today. Oh Lord, let me stop here, you know what? Are you here today not a child of God? You need to become a child of God. You see, while the Almighty God sent rain both on the just and on the unjust, that means if you're not a Christian, God still loves you. Truly. And he's providing the physical blessings of life for you. But you know which blessing is great? The spiritual blessing. You can have that only in Jesus Christ. That is only when you are a Christian, when you become obedient to the gospel. Who says that? God, revelation. God brought you here today to listen to this message that God, while he will, according to his word, will not be working miracle in our time, but he's still working. He's working providentially, meaning he's working behind the scene for his people. Become part of God's family now. How? Well, first, accepting that you are a sinner. I mentioned in the lesson that prayer is a relationship thing. Meaning, prayer is for men and women who are in a right relationship with God. If you are a sinner, the Bible says in the book of St. John chapter 9 verse 31, now we know that God does not hear sinner, but if any man be a worshipper of God, him he heareth. There you have it. And I can give you a few more dozen passages and the fact that prayer is for those who are in right relationship with God. Now you can be in a right relationship with God.